Welcome back to The Takeaway. And now another approach to criminal justice reform operating outside the boundaries of state courts. There are more than 300 tribal courts across the country operating in tandem with the U.S. judicial system. And these courts often use the tribe's traditions and beliefs to approach criminal justice. Tribal Justice, a new documentary premiering tonight on PBS's documentary series POV, follows the chief judges for the two largest tribes in California.
The state has a lot of responsibility for all the people. I have responsibility just for this one set of people.
I know she does.
6,000 Yurok's and their families. And that's what I'm responsible for, and to this land, to this place. It's everything, really. I mean, this place is everything. It's what it's all about for us. I mean, I don't even know how to say it.
Abby Abenanti is the chief judge of the Yurok tribe in the far northern coast of California.
6,000 Yurok's and their families. And that's what I'm responsible for, and to this land, to this place.
And Judge Claudette White is from the Quetzon tribe in the deserts of Southern California, just north of the Mexican border.
Every time I come back home, it's just a feeling. I see the tumbleweeds on the side and the cottonwood trees and the tamaracks and salt cedars in the fields, and I know I'm home.
Both judges use restorative justice in their courtrooms, preferring to work out deals with rehab and work placement instead of incarceration for the people who break the law on their land. I spoke with Judge Claudette White about her work on the Quetzon Reservation, as well as the producer and director of the film, Anne Makepeace.
I think the film is a real eye-opener, and their courts can serve as a model of restorative justice, which is a movement going on now across the country in state courts, and many state courts that are interested in restorative justice techniques are looking to tribal courts and the methods used there because they're more humane. They're not about punishment. They're about restoration. So I think it's plugging in at a really opportune time to open people's eyes and reveal a new kind of justice that actually works and does not result in mass incarceration.
Judge White, you're one of the judges around whom this story is built. In the exercise of sovereignty, do you sometimes attract the attention, unwelcome, unwanted, negative, of nearby communities that are off the reservation, away from tribal lands? Because you're presiding over some fairly serious crimes.
Yes, I would say that we do. In some instances, I think that's primarily based on lack of understanding and education. And hopefully this film will give some insight into what's happening in tribal courts and people in the broader public, as opposed to just the tribal communities and those working within our community and structures, will learn more about why tribes have the sovereignty and autonomy to have their own courts and exercise in their own jurisdictions. And when we deal with criticism or we deal with negative images or views about what's occurring, I've often taken the time to help educate and to try to share information with others so they can learn and appreciate what it is we're doing in our courts.
In one case in particular, a repeat offender, meth addict, is arrested after getting into a single car accident on somebody's front lawn. He's driving around high on crystal meth. This is not his first offense. And as I watched the process roll out, I thought about how that person would be treated in a county court in Arizona, in California, in Nevada.
Well, I'm in rehab. I'm doing really good. I'm secretary of the rehab right now. I should be moving up to president of the rehab. And this is really the first time in my life I've ever been off drugs, really. I was locked up a long time. I was in prison most of my life. This is really the first chance where it opened my eyes and got me to look at myself and not just others.
So I'd say at this point you're in full compliance, and we will communicate that to the state court also. What a good job you're doing, and we will help you in those hearings. And we want to support you through that process too.
Right. They would take a more punitive approach with regards to dealing with an individual who is a repeat offender. One of the concepts we use in tribal courts and it's really one of the core concepts and values is these people who are offending are going to return to our community most likely and live amongst us. And we want to have and achieve success, not just for themselves, but for the entire tribal community. And so if we give another person an opportunity and another chance to try to get things right, to offer rehab services or whatever it is they need to help them be successful and to live, you know, independent and free of drug abuse, then we're willing to provide those opportunities, because incarcerating them repeatedly isn't achieving success. And we see that occurring nationwide with mass incarceration. And I think we see more success than failure.
Judge White, the rampant use of alcohol and drugs is not something that you and your family have been able to escape.
No, I don't think we've been able to escape any of the dysfunction or tragedies that affect a number of families in any community, and in particular my own community, and I share some of that in the film.
My dad, we actually lost him to a drug overdose of cocaine and heroin. But it put a real fear in me.
I think that really helps give me a good understanding and appreciation, and allows me to exercise empathy when I am dealing with individuals going through those circumstances.
How do you explain it to yourself that this remains such a persistent problem?
I don't know that I can explain it to myself completely and make sense of it. It's just something that we deal with as a reality. It's around us. There is a lot of disadvantages sometimes to living on reservation, especially in the communities and areas we're in, geographically located. Both of the counties around us are high unemployment areas. And there are a lot of situations where people feel hopeless and turn to those things. And we look into our past with regards to things like historical trauma and the fact that we're just building as nations still in grasping concepts of how maybe outside of the tribal community might determine and define success, and trying to achieve those things and learning to embrace those as well.
And make peace for you. You're talking to an audience that's going to be, in many cases, learning from scratch this fascinating story. What do you want them to take away from this?
Well, I guess there are many things. I'd like them to think about that there are many very functional people on reservations. You know, they're not all down and out. There are people who are really working to make life better and who are leading successful lives. And these women are models of that. And then the other thing I alluded to earlier is I would like people to think about our criminal justice system and realize, you know, there maybe there's a different way to think about justice, to think about it as resolving issues and healing rather than incarceration and warehousing people that leads to nothing good.
And Makepeace is the producer and director of Tribal Justice. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Claudette White is the chief judge of the Kwetsun Tribal Court. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Tribal Justice premieres tonight on the PBS documentary series POV.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.